while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. As you know, we are going through a series of sermons that defy logic. Last week, we looked at losing to win. You don't lose and win. It's an impossibility. You've already lost, so how can you win? But God showed us that you can lose and win. When he demonstrated how Gideon, who had to go to war against the Midianites, assembled a large army of 30,000 people. But God told him, no, you can't go to war with 30,000 people. They're just far too many. So God dwindled it down to only 300 people. And can you believe it? They were going into war with trumpets and jars. They had already lost because the Midianites far outnumbered them. But that's how God delivered them from the hands of the Midianites. They won, even though they had lost before they went into battle. This week we are looking at giving to gain. And our text, as you may have already gathered, was from John 3, 17 to 21. When I was given this, I said, oh, I thought it should have started from 16, John 3, 16, because I know that is one of the most popular verses that we know in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But when I went in to read from 17 to 21, I realized that it was along the same theme and even stronger in verse 17. The synopsis that was given to us reads like this. To whom does your life belong? Should you contemplate surrendering your life to God? Is there anything of true value that we sacrifice when we accept Jesus as Lord? It is essential to realize that nothing in this world can match the priceless gift of Christ us and the deep love that God gives us. Giving to gain. We find that it is not very logical. Because even now in our own lives, we have come to believe and understand how much we rely on logic. We have to think logically about everything. Even now, we have coined a phrase that says, the rational man. We know how the rational man is going to behave, how the rational person is going to behave. In our law courts, we have got the phrase, the reasonable man, and we know how he's going to behave. There is this story that I've gone around a little bit, so maybe you've heard it. Maybe I can't tell it as good as you heard it, but I'll still try. There was a man who went to buy, who ordered pizza online. He rang at the other end, hello, Paradise Pizza. The person didn't wait for the man even to speak and said, "Do you want your regular?" Then the man said, "What do you mean I want my regular? How do you know me?" He says, "Oh, the last 5 times that you've ordered pizza, you ordered a vegetarian pizza." He said, "What do you mean? I don't want a vegetarian pizza this time. And how do you know I want a pepperoni pizza?" He said, "Oh no, it's not good for you because you have a high level of cholesterol." Then the man said, "How do you know I have cholesterol?" He said, "Yes, I know from the records that we have, you have a very high level of cholesterol. And so pepperoni is not good for you." Then he said, "No, don't worry about it. I've been taking my medication, so it's okay for me." Then the person at the other end said, "According to our records, your medication ran out 3 weeks ago. And you haven't had any since then. How do you know that my medication is run out?" "Because when," then the person said, "when we look at your purchases, you haven't used your card to buy any medicine." Then he said, "No, I bought it with cash." Then at the other end he said, "It's impossible for you to have bought it with cash, because the last time you withdrew cash was 5 weeks ago." So, now you see, even with the emergence of what we call artificial intelligence, it is even going to be more stringent for us. Logic is one of the bases on which we do everything. We call the rational man. All things being equal, that is how he's going to act. We have the reasonable man who will act reasonably. But here we are being asked to give and to gain. We all love things for free. We don't want to pay for anything. And as much as possible, if we can, we would have it for free. Even when a price has been put to something, we would want to bargain, try and pay a smaller price for it. Because in our own minds, we have our own price for the things that we want. We always weigh the pros and cons about everything before we make that decision. And we think, yes, we are really good at this because we know exactly what we want and we know exactly how much we are prepared to pay for it. The focus of today's message will be on 2 verses of the text that was read for us. Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And then verse 21, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be seen clearly that his works have been carried out in God." God gave. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn it. He gave his Son that we might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not come to judge you. He has come to give you redemption. He has come so that you will move from your darkness into light. But you can only have this when you are born again. If you read John's Gospel, this third chapter, you would find that Nicodemus at night came to Jesus asking him, how can I have righteousness? How can I be saved? And what did Jesus say? Unless you are born again, you cannot be saved. Then Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? Do I have to go into my mother's womb to be born again? I'm an old man. How could I be born again? And then Jesus explained that it is not born of flesh, but of the Spirit. You know, during Jesus' times, many of the Jews of his day believed that they were already saved because they were Jews. But being born again as children of God, as we know, is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is the Holy Spirit, so that it is not merely Jews who find salvation in Christ, but Gentiles also. God's love is not restricted by race. It is for the whole world, both Jews and Gentiles. That is the gift that God gave us. He gave. God gave. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Jesus Christ, in his ministry at the beginning, gave an indication of what his main purpose was. As he was turning water into wine at Canaan, or when he was driving out the traders in the temple, Jesus said, my time has not come yet. And in the temple, he told the Jews, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That is Christ's purpose for coming into this world. His purpose for coming into this world is revealed in verse 17 of John 3. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is Christ's main purpose. It is the answer to the question, why? Why did Jesus die on the cross? To save the world. The purpose of the Savior is to save the world. And he succeeds in doing this. In his death and resurrection, Christ saved his people from the wrath of God. He saved all those who believe in him, those who have been born again in the Spirit. Those who believe are no longer under condemnation. They will never perish. They will never receive God's final and eternal judgment, but instead they will have eternal life. The gift of God is everlasting. It is not just an extension of the life we have here now, but one far greater, with no more tears and no more sorrows. Once we were alienated from God and were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. But now He has reconciled us through Christ. Through Christ's physical body, through His death, He has presented us a new way of life. He gave His Son without blemish as an atonement for our sins. He gave His Son to free us from the accusations of sin. He gave His Son for me and you. What are you giving for the things that you treasure? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all of these, salvation and eternal life, comes to us as a gift from God. He gave His only Son. The Father gave His best, His unique and beloved Son, for us. If there is any in this congregation at this time who has not received Christ as his personal Savior, I will urge you to do so after the service. See our pastor, Deji, or even see me, or one of the leaders of the church, and we will help you through. Because God's gift of salvation is free. He gave it freely to me and you. Now it is clear that the purpose of God's love in Christ is to save His people. And that this salvation is a gift from God. But as we continue through this text, through to verses 19 and 21, we realize that even the works that we do, those works that we do as believers, are carried out in God. We do them because Christ is in us. We do them because of the salvation that He has given us. Those who are not in Christ do not do good works. They love the darkness rather than the light, as they live in sin. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen by all that God is working through them. Good works are the result of our faith in Christ. They result from us being saved and born again. Good works. do not lead to salvation. But salvation leads to good works. So that if you are that person who thinks that, oh, I am not a sinner, or who thinks that, oh, my life is straightforward, I don't quarrel with my neighbors, I don't steal, I don't do that, I don't give anybody aggro, so surely I must be a child of God. No. It is only through Christ that you can belong to our Lord. As C.S. Lewis says of Christ, Christ says, "Give me all. I don't want so much of your money and so much of your works. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or to crown it or to fill it, but I want to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires you think incorrect, as well as the ones you think wicked. I want the whole outfit. And I will give you myself. And I will give you a new self. My own shall become yours." Christ died to set you free from the bondage of sin. He died so that you can be reconciled to God. He died to take away your infirmities. He died to give us eternal life. He died to become a ransom for many and a sacrifice and as a sacrificial lamb without blemish. Christ died once and for all so that there now we will require no more sacrifices. He died to break the curse of the law. He died to save us from God's wrath. He died to satisfy God's justice. He died so that we can become children of God. He died so that we can have an inheritance with him in his kingdom. This is how God has demonstrated his love. He gave his only son. And those born of the Holy Spirit shall never perish, but have eternal life. It is essential to realize that nothing in this world can match the priceless gift of Christ and the deep love that God gives us. So let us surrender it all to Christ. Surrender it all. The songwriter says, "I surrender it all. All to Jesus I surrender." I surrender the things that confound me. I even surrender the things that I can handle to him. When Christ is in you, you give. When Christ is in you, you give. I have a few examples here that I want to show you. I think three. In Mark chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus sat in the temple by the collection box, and he saw people bringing in their fat offerings. And then a widow came around and put in two of the least coins in their time into the offering bowl. Then Christ turned around and said, of all the people who gave, this woman has given the best, because she has given her all. You know, a lot of times when we think we are giving, we are only giving because it does not affect us. But when Christ is in us, we give from our heart. In Luke chapter 7, from verses 36 to 50, we come across the woman with the alabaster jar who came to Jesus, knelt before him, and cried and wiped his feet with her hair and kissed his feet, and then poured out a jar of oil over Jesus. And even his disciples commented that, oh, what a waste. But Jesus said, wherever the gospel is sown, this woman will be mentioned, because she has anointed me. And again, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David wanted to build an altar to the Lord. So he went to Arauna and asked him for a land. When he went, as soon as Arauna saw David, he bowed. So when David put the request to him, Arauna said, my Lord, take anything that you want. I will give you this land, plus wood for the offering. Take it free and go. But David replied, I won't offer to the Lord anything which does not cost me. God gave. And what are you giving in return? God gave his only son for you and for me.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.